I thought, well, seemed like I was bragging or something, you know. But the Lord gets a hold of you, you'll do what He wants you to do. And most of you know I have two sons in the ministry. And the Lord had to work me over to get me to the place where He would use me and our home and family. I could tell you story after story. I read these things about different people, and you know, I think, well, that's not much different than me. But I'll tell you one incident that turned my life around. When my oldest son was about 8 years old, I was a very mediocre church member. I know I was saved, but I was like a lot of people today. I was busy. We had a revival meeting at our church, and I was too busy to go. I had a little workshop, and my wife and kids stopped by on the way home from church. Daryl jumped out of the car and run over and hugged me. He said, "Daddy, I saved tonight." I felt less than that tall. I wept. Not ashamed, but weeping. I've wept several times since then. And I had wept before, but it just somehow it didn't touch me. But when I went home that night, I was different. I wanted to talk to the Lord, and I wanted to get my life right. And from that time on, of course, it didn't happen overnight, but from that time on, I was a different person. Even though I was saved, I was as cold as you could get. I ask our people many times when I preach, I say, "Where art thou? Where are you at? What's God doing to you or with you or through you?" Because you ought to know. You ought to know. You ought to want it. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. And you know what? When I get up there, even I'll be able to sing. I'm looking forward to that. Not just to be able to sing, but everything about it. Have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And as I sat here, getting more nervous, I thought of a man and I don't know why I thought about him. He's been dead for 7 or 8 years. But I went to see him in a hospital. Talked to him, and he said, "I'm in bad trouble." He had cancer throughout his body. But you know, he was not in any worse trouble than you are tonight if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You don't know what we're talking about. You don't know about the joy that floods your soul. You don't know about King of kings and Lord of lords that's able to lift you up and able to make you glad, able to make you wonder. I've told some of you sometimes and our people all the time, but this television program that says share the wonder, they haven't got anything near to share what we've got. Share the wonder. I got a paper this week and it says, tell someone how precious he is. And then on the way up here, we was listening to a tape of Tina Gregory. And she sang that song. Tell someone how precious he is. Just think about that with me for a few minutes. How precious he is. Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we know that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But you and I know it now. That's what I want to talk to you about just for a short time tonight. When I use the term Christian, I hope you understand I'm talking about a born-again child of God. I'm not talking about what the world talks about most of the time. I want to talk to you about our certainty. You know, I can remember back when I didn't know anything. And I've heard preachers say, you know, well, if I believe like you Baptists, you know, I just go out and sin all I want to. Then the Lord impressed on me what that meant. And if you have that attitude, you think you can go out and sin all you want to, you don't love. And you've never experienced the love of Christ. Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 5. He said, the love of Christ constraineth me. Oh, the greatest love in all the world. And he loved me when I was unlovable. You ever think about that? If you're saved tonight, he loved you when you were unlovable. And so, the confidence or the certainty that we have in Christ. We'll talk to you about three different things. And you forgive me if I go off on tangents a little bit, because I've studied about 50 different messages in the last few days. But my wife told me Sunday, she says, if you don't quit studying so hard, your brain's going to bust. But the Lord knows all about that too. Three things that we'll talk about. The Word of God, the work of Christ, and the witness of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. And along with it, we'll throw in just a little bit how to have the presence and the power and to be in God's purpose and have His provision in your life. Providence of God. This book, this church, all the churches represented, part of the providence of God. Every preacher, every church member, part of the providence of God. Just think how wonderful that is that we can assemble ourselves here tonight and worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you're here and you don't know our Lord, we invite you to listen. If you have any questions, I know there are multitudes of people here that can answer them for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hope that didn't break anything. And if children, then heirs. I tell our people all the time. This boggles my mind. It really does. I mean, I thrill at the love that he had for me when I was unlovable. But this verse just tears me up every time I read it. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Glorious. Wonderful. Go down with me to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We want you to think on that throughout the message. We probably won't major on it. I wanted to preach on two things. I wanted to preach on Baptist attitudes. And a lot of times we need attitude adjustments, don't we? God's able to do that. Then I wanted to preach on how to have the power and the presence and the provision of Almighty God. That being His will. And that's, being in the will of God's as awesome as God itself, or Himself. Nothing will ever be done effectively for God outside of the will of God. Will of God's revealed in this book. This book is the part of the provision of God. Isn't that wonderful? Gave us this word. He didn't want us to be stumbling along, butting our heads against the wall all the time. He gave us a light for our path and a lamp for our feet. Most of you are familiar with the remainder of this chapter. We're not going to read it because of time, but think about it. I would suppose, and as I think back, that you can be a child of God and not enjoy any kind of certainty or confidence. I've met a lot of people that have a hope-so religion and a maybe-so salvation. But this book tells me, and I can rejoice with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed. And I only committed it to Him because He revealed it to me. Made me aware of it. Then I read over in Timothy where it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. And of a sound mind. And He gives us His Word. So as we look at these things tonight, I remember reading over in Psalm 51. King David. Asking the Lord to restore unto him the joy of his salvation. You ought to have it both. You ought to have it all. I want to have it all. So the first thing we see, Christian confidence, or a child of God's confidence, is the faith which accepts and rests on the Word of God. The Word of God presents. There's three things that we'll give you under this. The Word of God presents Christian confidence. And that's not bragging, that's fact. Isn't it wonderful? You know, people say, you Baptists, you believe that you're the only ones going to heaven. No, I don't believe that, but I know I am. And I feel sorry for people that don't know. So the Word of God presents Christian certainty or confidence. John chapter 20. We're going to turn to some of these, so we'll read them. There's many places in the Scripture where the Lord says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He wants us to know. He wants us to be aware. He wants us to be able to tell others, look, this is the way it is. And there's no deviation from it. I preached here a few years ago, and I believe this with all my heart. The Word of God is not debatable. And it's not arguable. I can remember asking old brother Eugene Clark several times about some scripture. I said, what's that mean? He said, it means what it says. It says what it means. So this is true. It means what it says. It says what it means. So in John chapter 20, verse 31, well, let's read 30 and 31. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. That's confidence. I can turn to that tomorrow and it'll say the same thing. And many others along with it. But nevertheless, let's go on. 1 John 5:13 bears record to the same thing. I like to read this whole fifth chapter, but I don't have time, but verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God. This book, this word we're reading right now. This is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. That's real shaky ground, folks. Anytime that I hear anybody say, I don't believe that, regardless of what they're referring to in this book, they're in serious trouble. Bad trouble. So this is the record which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Serious, isn't it? That's serious stuff. And I'll tell you again, that's worse than any disease you can contact in this world, because you're born with it. Born in sin. And all that goes along with it. Then again, the record here, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Amen. Great God. Whew. Confidence that we have in Him. The Word of God presents Christian confidence and certainty. The Word of God produces Christian confidence. People that don't know the Word. And they've never been able to have joy and rejoice. You know, that's the great part about what we've got. You don't just get the joy once. You can rejoice and again rejoice and rejoice. Every time you read it, every time you hear it, every time you come together, Christian love and fellowship around the Word of God, around the Son of God. So the Word of God produces Christian certainty. In James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You know, you'll never find a good or perfect gift in this old world. You never will. No matter who gives you something or what, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And then as we read a little bit further, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Wonderful. God the Father. You know how wonderful it is? And I don't have time to go off on all of these different tangents, but you know how wonderful it is just to be able to say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Whew. Most of the world don't even have any idea what we're talking about. Amen. Of His own will, verse 18, begat He us with the Word of truth. How? With the Word of truth! 2 Timothy chapter 4, charge I've ever heard preached to a preacher is 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach the Word! The Word of truth! Because God is Spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. I love John chapter 4. It says the hour is coming and now is! I got a sermon I preach. I like to preach it. I really do. We're living in the now is! When true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. You know why? For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Isn't that wonderful? Father sought us. Brought us. Saved us. He said, I'll have mercy on whom I will. No surprises with God. Surprises to us sometimes, but nevertheless, let's go on. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Never mind, I went too far. Verse 18 is the one I wanted. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Word of God produces Christian confidence. Child of God. Not have us be ignorant, folks. 1 Peter 1:23 says the same thing, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. I love John chapter 1 and verse 1. The beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. But not anything made that was made. And you go on down through and it says, that Word became flesh. Amen. And that Word laid down His life on Calvary's cross. Amen. through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. 2 Peter 1:4, one of my favorite chapters. Probably a month doesn't go by that I don't read this to our people. We're thankful to have some of them here tonight. We have our two sons here. You don't know what a joy. What a joy that is. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. I don't have time to read any more of that, but that's pretty good stuff. This book's full of good stuff. Do you know that? Partakers of the divine nature. God don't want just a bunch of saved folks running around the world doing what they want to do. It's not what He saved us for. He saved us to become partakers of the divine nature. To know the will of God and to desire it and love it and walk in it.
Amen.
The Word of God does not only present and produces, but it promotes Christian confidence. A lot of folks say, I don't need to go to church. I can listen to some of these hip hops on television and worship God. Bigger lie was never told. Devil gets you to believe that. You know, the devil loves lukewarm Christians. Yeah, oh. Can't get your salvation, but he can sure turn you off if we let him. But this same book, over in Romans, it says, sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Romans 10, verse 17. You know, you go to the doctor, you've got something bad wrong with you, you've got an infection or something, he gives you some antibiotics, you go home and you take one and you say, well, that's all I need. No. You've got to keep taking them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Keeps coming that way too. And a lot of other things in this book are not just a one-time dose. Repentance is not just a one-time dose. If we say we have no sin, we lie, and the truth's not in us. And every time we sin, we got to repent. Isn't it wonderful? The same God that says, if you confess your sins, He says, I'm faithful and just to forgive you. Whew. Would we do that? But God does. Did, does, will, promotes Christian certainty. Romans 15 and 4 says, whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One and the same. Isn't that great? The more we read and hear and heed the Word of God, the stronger becomes our faith and love and hope. Our confidence. Never in the flesh. Paul had no confidence in the flesh. His confidence was in God.
Amen.
He is able to deliver me. I like to think of, you know, our certainty is based on the Word of God, and I'm going to not take a lot of time, but a young boy was saved, and the preacher had showed him some scripture. And it's over there in 1 John 5, he that hath the Son hath life. And he laid down in bed that night, and he was reading the Bible, and he was reading that passage of scripture, and story goes, the old devil came, you know, and there was a voice in the room that says, "No, you're not." He says, "He who has the Son hath life." He said, "This voice came from under the bed. No, you're not." He says, "Well, there it is. Read it for yourself." And he just laid the Bible on the floor and went to sleep. Confidence. I tell you. Second point, the work of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Left heaven's glory. Amen. Born of a woman. We believe he's born of a virgin. Conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Said being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself. Did you ever humble yourself before Almighty God? Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I read over there that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. We don't want to suffer. No, we don't want to. In fact, most of our prayers are to try to get us out of any kind of suffering. But God says those that will live godly, you think he wouldn't have put that in there, wouldn't you? That's a negative, folks. And you know, our world says don't preach any negatives. Got to always be positive. But Jesus said, all that will live godly for him shall suffer persecution. Shall. There's a lot of them shells in this book. Christian confidence is the faith which accepts and rests upon the work of Jesus Christ. Believe. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love believeth all things. You know what that means? That means the whole book. Wherever you open this book, if you love the Lord, you're supposed to believe it. Whatever you read in it, you're supposed to believe it. Even if it's contrary to our human mind. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Nowhere else will you ever find any. Jesus said in John 14, He said, I am the way. Neither is there salvation in any other. You know that term, the way, is in this book a lot of places? You're supposed to bring your children up in the way. Think about that. I don't have time to get off there, but think about it. He's the way. That's why Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because He's the way. He's the reason. He's the purpose. He's everything. There's no church without Christ. There's a lot of them without Him, but there isn't supposed to be. No true churches without Christ. Believers' justification. I'll never forget. Homer Crane told me one time. I was listening to him preach. He says, you know what justification means? He says, it's just as if I had never sinned. Just as if I never had or never will again. Paid for them all. Justified. They're under the blood. Under the blood. Don't you love the blood? Whew. Bible reminds us that we're all sinners. Turn with me again to the book of Romans. I won't be able to go through this, but these verses thrill me. If they don't thrill you, you need something. You need something. As I read Romans 8:28, see, the work of Christ guarantees or gives us confidence in justification and sanctification. We're set apart. We're supposed to continue to bring ourselves apart from the world because of Him. So here in Romans 8:28 it says, and we know. You know why we know that this verse is true? Because God's in control of everything. If He wasn't, that would be a blasphemous statement. But we know. You have confidence in that? I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's not easy to sit by a bedside or stand by a bedside of a dying person and pray. But we know. I just mentioned here, you remember a while back we asked you to pray for a little girl named Casey? Was 4 years old. She died. The mother, when Casey was in the hospital, had twins. They're 1 year old now. Last Wednesday, the boy had cataract surgery on one eye. They removed the lens totally. They can't do anything. He won't be able to hardly see for some time. Tomorrow morning, they're going to do the other eye. Tomorrow afternoon, they're going to do his sister's. 1 year old. Pray for them as you think about them. Zachary and Emily. Family's really gone through a lot, and I don't pretend to say why, but I know what I tell their grandmother. She's a member of our church. I know that all things work together for good. And I know that it must be God's will, because there's nothing ever happens if not God's will. It's either His determined will or His permissive will. And I know that God don't make any mistakes. And so I can pray for them and with them. We know. You know, you know that. You got something that most of the world don't know anything about. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, I run into people all the time that don't love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. I'll throw that in. See, the will of God, to have the presence of God, to be in the purpose of God, and have the presence and provision of God. You can't, it gets, as the little boy said, it gets gooder. I run into people all the time, you know, they talk about they can't do the will of God because of a physical relationship, you know. They say, well, I know the scripture says that I shouldn't, but I love her, or I love him more than God. They don't love God very much. They don't know anything about what I'm telling you tonight. Amen. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're supposed to be like Christ. Well, you read it. I'm not going to take time to read the rest of it. That's wonderful. Wonderful thing to know. Confidence that we have in Christ. Who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. And then I want to that song the choir sang, glorification. Glorified. Look what he says here. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. That's us, ain't it? And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Woo! Wonderful. Don't get any happier than that. You can't get any happier than that. You talk about streets of gold, that's a certainty. Then we have the witness of the Spirit. And I'll just take a couple minutes on this and close. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all involved in the work of redemption. They're all involved in justification and sanctification and glorification and all that's connected with it. My God, if you're a member of a New Testament Missionary Baptist Church, you ought to praise God. You're only there by the grace of God. Didn't put yourself there. It says God places in the church as it pleases Him. He don't let you leave until it pleases Him either. You might leave. You might get in bad trouble too. New sense of relationship. As many as are led... Romans 8:14-16, you can turn there if you want to, but it says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I love... Well, a new sense of resourcefulness. If children, then heirs and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I still don't understand that, but I believe it. And I rejoice in it. There's a new sense of responsibility too. Yeah. There's a weight of responsibility. Being a son, being a child of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we might be called the sons of God. Amen. It says, Romans 8:17-18, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider, or I reckon, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We ought to long to have the glory revealed in us. We're walking examples of God's grace. We ought to act like it. And nothing I dislike worse than Christians who aren't happy. Everything out of this world to be happy about. God before us, who can be against us? Had in Sunday school last Sunday, it says that it's hard for a rich man that trusts in riches to go to heaven, you know. And the disciples said, well, Lord, who then can go to heaven? He says, with man it's impossible. But with God it's not. With God it's possible. Isn't that great? That's what I got. Like I said, there's a few years I was lived in mediocrity. Oh, wasted years. Wasted years. But God still loved me. It's wonderful. Brethren, we thank you for the privilege. Thank the church for the opportunity, for the conference. We rejoice. We rejoice. We pray it's been a blessing to you, the Word of God, as we go the next couple of days and fellowship with one another, pray with one another, agonize with one another. I'll never forget, and I should quit, but I'll never forget a couple years ago, this man preached a message, the agony of loving. Agony of loving. And I know I don't communicate like I ought to, but I've heard from different churches around in this church of things, lost loved ones and others that have gone to be with the Lord, and that we've agonized with you. We've prayed with you. We've wept with you. We pray that you do with us. May the Lord bless you.